Good morning. This is At Issue on WGXE 90.7 FM. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Debbie Mayer.
And we are with Ellen Thurston, currently supervisor of the Third Ward and a very important radio personality here at the station.
Your own, absolutely.
We're going to be followed by, after Ellen, we're going to have Kevin Hannon, who is with Hudson Forward. And they're going to be talking, Kevin will be talking a little bit about where Hudson Forward is going and what their plans for the new year are. Welcome, Ellen. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for asking me to be here.
So we're calling it Looking Back and Looking Forward.
Yeah, Hudson
today.
Forward and Back. Yeah.
So, Debbie, it was your idea to have Ellen here,
right.
So why don't you explain
okay.
to the
Ellen Thurston,
listeners why.
Ellen Thurston has represented the Third Ward in Hudson for 10 years, 6 years as an alderman for the Common Council, and 4 years as supervisor of the Third Ward, which represents the Third Ward on the county level. She's coming to the end of her second two-year term as supervisor, and she declined to run again. So she's like the eminence grise of politics here. And I thought we'd try to get a little perspective from her, which is not easy, but we're going to try, Ellen.
Okay.
So when exactly did you first sit? Which January was it when you first sat on the council?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
Yeah, I was. Let's see. It was about 10 years ago.
So it would have been 2006, correct?
I ran the year before, or the election before that, and lost.
Yes, Ellen is a example to us all. The first time she ran, she lost. So she ran again, and she won.
Well, I knew and don't know now much about politics, but I learned from that first, the first time I ran, what needs to be done, and which means you need to go meet your constituency.
Right.
And
you sure do.
I didn't quite know how to do that, but it's easily learned. And
And the Third Ward is pretty big. I mean, I guess
it is.
So is the second and the fifth. But the third is a lot of walking space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes from Third Street, meanders uptown to, I say, to the Statue of Liberty, which is at the
right
intersection with 66.
Yes.
But even further out as well, out to the cemetery as well. Across from the cemetery on Columbia Turnpike, really belongs in the fifth, but we won't get into that
right
now.
Not today, yeah.
The fifth has enough.
Right, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, so you learned to meet your constituents, and you started on the Common Council in January of 2006.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
It was at the time of the battle over St. Lawrence Cement.
Okay, I wanted to know things like that. So that was going on at that time.
Well, it's what sort of politicized a lot of people.
Yes.
I mean, it was an intense campaign to try to prevent a new cement plant, the biggest in the world or biggest in the United States.
Largest coal-fired as well.
That's
coal-fired
right.
cement plant in the world.
There were lots of things that were abhorrent to a lot of people.
Yes.
And a lot of us got sort of involved in the cause, and as I said, it politicized us. And I remember the first time it came up, I was at a Common Council meeting, and it's as if they didn't even know it was happening. It was never mentioned
in
those circles, and it was during the time when Mim Traver was the Common Council president.
I wanted to know that. So Mim was Common Council president, and who was mayor? Probably Rick
Dick
Scalera.
Dick Tracy, right?
No,
when
I think
you started.
He was later.
No, it was started, though.
It was Yes, it was Rick Scalera.
Yeah.
And the thing about MIM is that if you wanted to speak at the meeting, you had to ask permission from her in advance. Excuse me. The morning frog is here.
So you had to ask permission.
Yes, and I remember I was at the grocery store at 3rd and Allen getting my newspaper, and she happened to be there, so I said I wanted to come and speak that evening to the Common Council. Mm-hmm. And
This was before you were alderman.
Oh, yes.
So the public had to ask her permission
right,
in advance.
Right, okay. That's right. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, what do you want to speak about? Mm-hmm. And I said, the St. Lawrence cement problem, or however I stated it. And she said, well, you know, St. Lawrence, they're wanting to build in Greenport. Maybe you should go talk to the Greenport Town Board. And I said, but it affects Hudson, so I want to come in and talk to the Common Council. And she finally allowed me to do that. But it was an interesting time.
Did that increase your standing in the community, that you feel like that's one of the reasons that you won your race the following year?
No, or did it have no effect? No, I think it had an effect among those people who agreed with me. I mean, it was a terrible kind of wrenching.
Yes, it, as
battle.
I remember, it was very divisive, unfortunately.
It was. Yeah. And it divided people. I mean, the division was there in many ways. Mm-hmm. We talk about them and us, but there are many thems and many us's,
But my question was sort of like, do you feel that it was... did people start seeing you as a leader and because of you having spoken up and been able to sort of wrench this ability to speak before the council? Was that something that changed for you?
I don't think so. I think a lot of people were, you know, involved in speaking out, writing letters to the editor, and there were so many people involved in that, as it turns out.
Yes, it was extraordinary.
Through the
really
years.
Was,
and
yeah.
It took a number of years to come to an end.
Yeah. All right. Well, I had also wanted to ask you, when you were on the council, when you did finally take office, the council appears to be quite divided right now, and I wonder if it was like that then, too.
You're asking the Eminence Gris
to remember
look
something.
Way back to remember something. When I was first in office, I was incredibly naive about all of it. And I'll just say, in Hudson, you can't tell a Republican from a Democrat and vice versa because people are always often changing party as well.
They do, don't they?
So it was hard
or
to
running on different lines and not changing parties.
Yeah.
Right. It's quite incredible. So I don't think there was not as deep a divide as there is now, that's for sure.
Okay.
I mean, it's gotten really quite amazing.
It is.
Though after the meeting, you see people talking to each other who wouldn't talk to each other during the meeting or, you know, had some sort of battle. And one hopes that they straighten it out outside the meeting, if not within it. Mm-hmm. But the St. Lawrence cement fight really pulled a lot people in both directions.
Yes.
But I don't remember a great divide, no.
Okay. And then the other idea is, which is similar, is that we see, those of you who attend the Common Council meetings and the rest of us read about what's called a lack of civility among council members during the meetings. And so I'm asking the Eminence Gris, twas it ever thus?
Well, I hear stories about what what used to happen before I was here, mm-hmm. and there was somebody named Billy Hart, mm-hmm. who was from the Third Ward. I don't know, the Third Ward seems to be where... where maybe where some of the trouble is.
Yeah, but it, I bet it wasn't when you were alderman.
Well,
I can't imagine your
well, you know, there
calling
are two,
someone an idiot in public.
There are two aldermen in each ward.
Yes, there are. And when you were alderman, who was the other one? Most of the time, anyway.
Chris Wagoner?
Oh, yes. Chris Wagoner was in for a few years.
And
right.
Rainer Judge.
Okay.
She did a term,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was there also.
That's who joined you when you joined, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Anyway.
Anyway, civility. Do you have any thoughts on civility?
I think I've often thought that people... First of all, I would like to see the seats in the Common Council reconfigured,
mm-hmm.
and maybe put in a sort of half moon facing the audience, but
right.
also facing each other. The mm-hmm. way they are now, John Friedman sits behind Abdus Mia, who's mm-hmm. John being in the Third Ward, Abdus in the Second Ward.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me... That is kind of not part of the problem, but I think if you're facing somebody head on, it's a good
thing.
It's
harder to call them an idiot.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
I think so.
Okay.
And and you, if you have trouble understanding somebody, to see them saying something mm-hmm. makes it much easier for you to understand.
Yes.
And it just seems more civilized to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would put the chairs in a semicircle. Mm-hmm. Of course, that would mean having to move the Common Council president off his pedestal and bring him down to the same level, mm-hmm. him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And I would...
would that be necessary, though, or couldn't they still serve from the
They
the,
could,
the
but
there.
All the Common Council would be facing in one direction, and the Common Council wouldn't be seeing them face to face.
It's not a great room to hold
yeah.
government meetings to begin
no,
with.
Yeah.
It's there's so many problems with
that's
it.
That's right.
There is. This is sort of a hard problem to fix.
Yeah, and I also wanted to say that if somebody has to be recognized to
yes,
speak.
Hear, hear.
They have to put up their hand. They mm-hmm. have to be recognized. And I would have them stand.
Yes.
So that if somebody is standing, that means they have the floor.
Right.
Literally and
figuratively,
in all ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it means nobody else can speak while they're speaking.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem
that
right
would
now.
Be
it's very unruly.
Yes, it is. But then so is Parliament sometimes, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
But it's much more amusing.
Yes.
Somehow.
But maybe that's because we're not there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And after I went to Japan, I realized that not only should they be recognized and stand, but they should bow to each other the way people do in Japan still. Give a little bow.
You're
asking a lot.
I think it's going to be hard enough to have them face each other. But
yes.
Anyway.
So we've been mostly talking about
yeah.
the Common Council, but
right.
and you served there for three terms. But the
then
the other
graduated.
Mystery hole
yeah.
for people is the county government, which you've mm-hmm. served now for two terms, four
right.
years.
Right.
Maybe you could fill us in a little bit about how things work there, whether you think that they're actually working productively.
Yeah.
It looks like the Democratic caucus will have a number of new additions. What do you think
mm-hmm.
where do you think that sort of serves the people? What are your thoughts about county government?
Well, there are, I think, 23 supervisors.
I think that's
is that
right.
the right number?
Yes.
And there were only, I'd have to count again, but I think when I first joined up with the Board of Supervisors that there were only five of us, five or six.
Five or six women?
No, Democrats.
Oh, Democrats. Yeah. No fooling.
There have never been many women. And
wow.
Because two of the Hudson seats were held by Republicans, right, so really. There was that.
Uh-huh. Right. But it's still a great minority. I keep thinking, because I was always in the majority when I was on the Common Council,
right.
I have to really remember that we're a minority.
We're a minority.
So I feel that it was a big learning curve for me, and because of this great divide. And there's a very strong committee system, right, where you can ask to be put on certain committees. And Chairman Patrick Gratton was very good about giving everybody the committees they wanted.
Uh-huh.
So there was no battle over that.
That's interesting.
And that's been a big change. I mean, previously, the Democrats really got almost, well, I mean, even after that, when mm-hmm. when Art Bair was chair, mm-hmm. The Democrats really didn't get what they asked for. Mm-hmm. They pretty much got relegated to committees, right, that they were not interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And has Pat Gratton, the Republican supervisor of the town of Kinderhook, has he been the chair for your two terms?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I suspect he will be the new chair.
One does expect, yes.
I think they elect a chairman every year. Mm-hmm. But
even with the increase in Democrats this year, the weighted vote is still heavily Republican. I saw the figures. I'm sorry I didn't bring them.
Depending on a couple of races, there are the potential of 11 Democrats out of 23 on the board this mm-hmm. this time. The thing is that their weighted vote is not anywhere close, right, to mm-hmm. taking the majority, even though they're a near physical,
right,
majority.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there are five supervisors, one for each ward in the city of Hudson. Mm-hmm. So that divides our vote, and we are going according to the weighted vote. So your vote can mean nothing unless the Hudson people vote together.
Do you tend
and
to
we
vote?
Do often. But
it seemed to me
not,
you did.
But not always.
Really?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say, first of all, that I realize now that I have been in or worked in government at all levels.
That's
including
right.
Including the local level, Hudson, the county level now, Columbia County, the state of New York, when I worked for the New York State Council on the Arts. And I worked for the National Endowment for the Arts, which was the federal level. So, but the county level seems to me to be the most inefficient. I mean, government as a whole is, I won't say inefficient, but it takes a long time to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to that. But people get very impatient with the process.
Right.
On the county level, as I said, the committees are very important. And I think it may be the only county in county in New York State that still operates by a system where they don't have a county executive.
Well, I think we're one of seven, but
oh, is it really that?
You know,
oh,
or
but
six,
sorry,
but
I'm misinformed.
Out of 62 counties,
right?
Yeah.
So it's a tiny minority
of
counties that do that.
So what happened is that I'm on the social services, human services is called committee. I'm on the county government committee, mm-hmm. and suddenly, I can't think of what the
Let's
third
see,
one
where
is.
Do I see you? Don't I see you on economic development?
Yes, economic development, mm-hmm. which is very interesting now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm kind of sorry I didn't run for office again, because just as I'm leaving, things are beginning to get really interesting.
Really interesting.
But sometimes, you know, people can do better outside of government than
yes.
can do more good.
So what will you miss, and what won't you miss?
Yeah.
Well, what will I miss? You know, there's some very nice people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably will still go to meetings, which mm-hmm. is what I do often anyway. I'm still going to Common Council meetings. Mm-hmm. I won't miss the committee meetings for the most part, because what happens is the staff comes in, mm-hmm. reports to the Board of Supervisors, who, you have to remember, most of them, not in Hudson, but most of them are running the government in their own towns. Mm-hmm. And many of them have day jobs beyond that. So right. They come rushing in, and the staff comes in and reports to the committee and presents resolutions, gets permission to go to a conference when they already have a budget line that allows them to go to the conference. But I don't know. There must have been some big scandal when...
Yes, there probably was.
When somebody went to a conference in Las Vegas, I think. And yeah. That was frowned upon. But I'm guessing.
Uh-huh. We're talking to Ellen Thurston, who's supervisor of the Third Ward in Hudson. And so she's told us what she won't miss, because she will, her term ends at the end of this year, and she didn't run again. So the people are nice. You won't miss the committee meetings. What was the best and the worst?
Oh dear.
Of your political career? What's a high point, even as supervisor? Is there something that the county actually did manage to do that you're happy about?
I wish I'd thought about this before.
Go back on those memory banks here. rewind.
Well, you can edit that out, I think.
Yeah, we're live.
Right. You know, I think that as far as the county is concerned, someone suggested, and the county took this up a couple of years ago before I was on the Board of Supervisors, that they would go to a new system of having a county executive, mm-hmm. And a legislature rather than operating the way they do now. And that came up during my term, because
right at the beginning,
Mike Benson from New Lebanon had written a letter saying, you know, this is an inefficient form of government, and it really is. It seems everything takes longer. You have to wait till the next, you know.
Cycle. Yeah.
Cycle.
And you've got 23 bosses. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, exactly. And so you go to the committee meeting, the staff comes in, they sit down, they give their reports, which have already been sent to you by email. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like a waste of time on the part of the staff. Mm-hmm. And there is no way that the legislator, unless they can take a lot of time to do this, can know whether the staff is doing a good job or not.
Right.
Is the Department of Social Services really working effectively? Mm-hmm. I can't tell you. I have no way of knowing. Though I've gone there, I've visited,
And is it by design, do you think? Is it meant to obscure the facts, or is it just the model?
I think it's the model. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like to think nobody's deliberately obscuring the facts, but depending on which department it is, you get useful information or you don't. I mean, to me, it was a real problem and held things up considerably.
Some reports are almost a dog and pony show. I mean, they're not meant to be at all critical. They are, it's sort of a puffing exercise. Do you
right.
agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to a certain extent. Most of them are very routine, and it's hard because you don't really know unless you're day to day or once in a while dropping into the office to see what's happening.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that will change one of these days. And I think that...
Well, you mentioned Mike Benson's letter. Is anything being followed up on
what
that?
Oh, what happened was Chairman Grattan brought it to the county government mm-hmm. committee mm-hmm. and said, I'm going to ask this committee to handle this and mm-hmm. to decide whether it should move on to the board as a whole. And I was the only woman on that committee. I don't know if that makes a difference or not, but, you know, I was fairly new. I'm a woman. I'm a Democrat in a sea of Republicans. I'm from Hudson. I think there's a certain, you know, not animosity, but feeling
passive
about
aggression.
Yeah, that's more like it. Yeah,
There they go again, those people from
right,
Hudson.
Right, right.
They do nothing but quarrel. But well. Everyone said, oh, I didn't like it then. And this proposal had come up before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. We'd lose our power.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it's more about.
Yes. I know, but I can't understand. What power do you have now?
The power to hire and fire people, particularly in their you know, keeping, you know, in the case of Republicans, it's often to get jobs with the county highway department or at social services or these kinds mm-hmm. of places. And then
I'm
and
so naive. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I was the only one who said, I think it should move forward.
Yeah, move forward to mm-hmm. the
it
full
would
board.
Have failed on yeah. that level, but mm-hmm. I think we have
going
to,
on the record
it's time
is a good thing.
To exactly. look at it again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it keeps coming up kind of various places. So,
you know, I was part of a group, a bipartisan group of people who were looking at a county manager and county right. and a county legislature. And one of the most interesting exercises for us, we went down to Ulster County and met with Mike Hine, the county executive down there. And he had just come from creating a county legislature and a county executive, and he was serving in that role. And he had an interesting way to deal with it. He said, I knew they would never give up their highway departments and because it's where the jobs are. And so what he did was he disbanded the county highway department and gave away the trucks to the towns and made them plow the county highways. And that was it was a really, really huh. smart way of doing it. I thought it was really one of the most interesting things that we had discovered during that exercise. And you know, maybe it's a possibility. It's yeah. a way that we could sort mm-hmm. of, you know, look here to do something similar that maybe they would be more inclined to.
Yeah, maybe they would. But everyone seems to be talking about shared services. Mm-hmm. And that hardly seems like sharing the services.
Well, it is sharing in a way because the towns are doing county
okay, so the towns,
county work.
Yeah, but they're all doing their own little fiefdoms, too.
Try and get them to give up the fiefdoms. That's
right,
the problem.
Yeah. So that was his solution. And it worked. He got what he wanted. They have a legislature.
Yeah. Yeah. But while we're on it, there's rumors that Mike Hine will be running for the congressional seat in the New York mm-hmm. 19 here, the mm-hmm. one the seat that's currently held by Chris Gibson.
Mike
Hine.
Oh, Mike Hine.
Mike Hine, the Democratic Ulster. County yeah. executive in Ulster County.
Oh, interesting. I see.
So it's only a rumor still. Right. It hasn't been confirmed or anything, but there's
Gibson
a lot of buzz
seat.
About it.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Mm. Any last thoughts since we have you here?
Well, I think there's hope for for Columbia County. There is a new Hudson, I think. I think you can say that. Maybe 2 years ago you wouldn't have said that. But mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. have come here, put down roots, or, you know, have put a lot of money into renovating and you know, establishing businesses. And there's a new kind of younger population that's here and that seems to be more efficient than we ever were.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of Promise Neighborhood and mm-hmm. Kite's Nest and various organizations. That
and Hudson Forward that we're going to talk to
Forward,
in
yes.
a minute. Yeah.
That gives me hope that, you know, things are going to turn around. We don't know yet who our new mayor is going to be, but mm-hmm. and the divide comes in many ways. It's, you know, I think there's the there's, I hate to call it an old Hudson, it's not quite it, but mm-hmm. change is going to come it's going to be difficult for some people,
mm-hmm.
But it's the young kids that apparently are really loving, some come here for the weekend, and we were talking to Bob Lucky on the Thursday afternoon show a couple of weeks ago. And
from Cascades?
Yes.
Yeah, the restaurant.
And mm-hmm. he was saying that his two children who are college age, or one is graduated now, I guess, that love to come back for a weekend, bring mm-hmm. their friends, because Hudson is now a fun place for them, and mm-hmm. it wasn't when they were growing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's so
right.
much more going on now. And I don't think that's going to go away easily.
Mm.
No,
I hope not.
And one hopes that, you know, we'll all come together one day. Kumbaya.
Well, while we have you here, plug your radio show. You have a show here on WGXC. Maybe you could
yes.
tell us about it.
Yes.
What are you doing tomorrow?
Oh, it's unknown at this moment.
Okay. Ellen's show is an afternoon show. Thursdays, every Thursday from 4 to 6, she's here.
With Tom DiPietro.
Correct.
At the moment, anyway.
Hours mm-hmm. hours often don't come together until the day before, too. So
yeah,
we
right.
totally get it.
We understand.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. While we're talking about change, we have some results of in the Greenport supervisors race. The Independence Party member who was cross-endorsed by the Democrats and I think the Working Families Party as well, has won his race
yes,
in Greenport.
He did.
Over John Parica.
Edna Bosny
correct. Has won over John Parica, mm-hmm. who was the sitting Republican mm-hmm. Supervisor. So that's big news.
That's great. And in Chatham.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah. They finished the absentee count.
Great.
And Maria Lull won, a Republican endorsed by the Democrats. Won the seat over Jesse DeGroote, who was a fairly long time incumbent,
mm-hmm.
No official party, you know, by like 50 votes or something, but that's the final count.
Right.
So that's great. And in the Chatham Town Board, the two Democrats, Bob Balcom and Landra Haber, ended up as the top two vote-getters out of four candidates
mm-hmm.
running.
Landra also had run last time mm-hmm. and came within a number
yes.
of like 8 votes or 6
right.
votes or something and ran again and won the second time. So
yeah.
That's a good
so
example
good.
For people to understand.
It is.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we will be with Kevin Hannon from Hudson Forward. Thank you so much to Ellen Thurston for joining us
Thank
this morning.
Thank you for asking me to come.
Thank you, Ellen.
We'll be right back. This is At Issue on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. And we're back. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Debbie Mayer.
And we're with Kevin Hannon from Hudson Forward. Thanks for joining us, Kevin.
Hi, good morning.
Hello, Kevin.
You might have to pull that mic a little closer to your mouth. Just
there we go.
Yeah, just you have to be right up on it.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what Hudson Forward is to start with for people who don't know.
Sure. So Hudson Forward was founded in 2014. And it's a grassroots collective of citizens from the city of Hudson who want to see action.
And beyond.
And beyond, right. We don't discriminate as long as people are ready to get to work. And it was an interesting beginning. As a grassroots group, what you have to do is invite everybody in the public to show up and give everybody a chance to speak. And so I had really just gotten to town, and I thought, this sounds interesting. I walk into the tin ballroom, and there are dozens of people. I'm thinking this could go on quite a while, and it did. The concerns ranged from building out a dog park, mm-hmm. broadband. There were many concerns, I guess, that would relate to municipal government and how it performs. And we just kind of took a list of all the stuff and themed it out, and we had a few areas that this year we're expanding upon. What I really like about Hudson Forward is it is a group that demands action, not by petitioning others, but by rolling up our sleeves and getting to work. Mm-hmm. And I think a popular sport in Hudson and Columbia County, mm-hmm. and it's a worthwhile one, is to demand results from others, and that is important. And that's an action that we can take as well. But there are other resources, namely our time, our ingenuity, and our energy, and we don't have to wait. We can get right to work. It's really a matter of setting goals that are inspiring and yet can be accomplished, mm-hmm. things that are realistic mm-hmm. to get done in the space of a year. So that seems to have been the secret sauce, is get those goals established and ratified and get right to work.
Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the things that you've done?
Sure. Yeah, we have five areas that we focus on. And again, it's important to note these are all decided upon collectively. Mm-hmm. They are access to learning, which covers all age groups up through college age, and includes things like publishing Hudson's first online educational resource guide that shows you, if you're a family and you want to, let's say, find what's available to your kid after school mm-hmm. or in the summer or by age group, if they're toddler or young adult, let's say, you can cut the information however you need and find exactly what you need, because there are so many wonderful organizations. You just have to find them.
Yeah,
right?
There are. There are a tremendous number. How do you get this information to the people who could use it?
Yeah, so we have it on our website, which mm-hmm. is hudsonforward.org. Mm-hmm. We present it at the school, so they've helped us give a push.
Oh, good.
But now we want to do more promotional mm-hmm. work this year, mm-hmm. including perhaps some flyers. There is talk of an app. Don't ask me any details on how to actually do that, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I do know there's an app for that. And then on the other end of the continuum on the college.
There's an app for that coming.
Yeah,
we're
right,
not ready,
right.
Not ready.
And then on the college side, we mm-hmm. actually, through our volunteers, drive students to and from the college, because there is no transit.
Right.
If you don't have a car, you have no means to get an education and improve your life. Mm-hmm. So that's just one area.
How many students take advantage of that?
We, over two semesters, have served 14 mm-hmm. students, and five more on a more one-off basis, if, let's say, they just, for on a temporary basis, mm-hmm. don't have wheels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
So, the resource guide is really quite extraordinary. I mean, the for people who haven't seen it, for people with kids, I think it's a really great place for you to start. When you're looking at resources for children, it seems daunting sometimes in Hudson. The school system is, leaves something to be desired, and I think people. People with kids worry about whether they're going to find the right resources for their children here. And I think what the resource guide really shows is that there really are a wide range of programs that can sort of fill any need. And I think, it's like you can sort it by age group and by other means. It's really, I think people should really take a look at it, hudsonforward.org, and there's a tab for resource guide, I guess,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's called Learning Forward, and it's right there okay. on the homepage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have to tell you, we were blown away. We knew that there was need for the service. We didn't know how many organizations were out there. This is not a big city.
It's tremendous.
And I think we counted something over 70.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And legitimate performing organizations, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Several of them actually, filled out the form so that we could include them, and that's growing all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of that in our community, that so many people are stepping up to look after our kids mm-hmm. and even mm-hmm. beyond, just to make sure that people get a good education.
Yeah, what concerns me sometimes is, do they all know what each other is doing so that they don't duplicate things.
It's getting better. So this guide is one way to coordinate in terms of how we face off to the public. Mm-hmm. But there is an organization called HOST where these different groups do coordinate. I forget if it's a bi-monthly basis, but I know that they've invited us and we've attended just to make sure we're not missing anything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they've been pretty on the ball, I think, in recent years with that.
And my other concern is, do the families that can use this service, do they have access to it online? I mean, you know what I mean? Do they have broadband? Do they have something on their phone or a computer where they can access this?
I'm sure that's an issue.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that kind of hits on a bigger theme, Hudson Forward is not incorporated, which means our fundraising abilities are a bit limited. So to start shelling out for these, I mean, things such as an app or more print materials, we have to work in the coming year on incorporating.
We
started as a grassroots.
Right.
Honestly, you don't know until people a year into it have gelled and are performing.
If people are going to stick with
it, this is real.
Follow up.
And it's real. We're growing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's time to do that.
So that's great. So you are planning to incorporate. That's part of the next
year's. Yeah, we're holding elections, which I'll talk about in a bit. So I do want to defer to the newly elected leaders. But the current group, I being one of them, we're fond of the idea for obvious reasons. It helps you sustain and fundraise.
Great.
So where is it going? What's next?
Yeah. So we have, I just talked a little bit about learning.
Right. You have four other things.
Yeah. There are five areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to note, again, these are all action teams formed of volunteers. They are just giving their time and energy. And that's how this all gets done. It's not, there's no other magic to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the other areas are good government, which encompasses everything from voter registration.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we registered 100 voters.
Fabulous.
In the county, several in Hudson, but this was countywide. And important to note, this was nonpartisan. We didn't just try to promote one party over another. This is really for the good of democracy. Educating community groups on the basics of democracy and voting. How our city government works. I think Ellen really was just talking a little bit about some of the things you have to learn on the job, but the average citizen won't understand, particularly at the county level. So public workshops on that. And then quite a bit of work on the weighted vote, helping people understand the issue and start to create some change. Beyond that, parks and shared spaces, which includes a dog park, beautifying our existing city parks. A new group, Community Building and Engagement, which is seeking to better connect residents of the city. We have so much diversity, and I think you were all just talking with Ellen a bit about we still have factions. There's still a divide based on ward or neighborhood or class. And yet, when you give people an opportunity to break that down, it's people form friendships and lasting alliances. Mm-hmm. So we have new work there, including some potlucks and inviting more of these existing organizations to our meetings, which are monthly, and then finally access to jobs and training, which is a big nut to crack. And fortunately, there's also a new organization called the Hudson Business Coalition that we might be able to partner with, given that there is some life
a revival
goals.
Of that
yes.
Business Coalition because it's existed before.
Yep.
Now there's a meeting coming up, right? There's a meeting tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 7 p.m. at the Hudson Opera House, and everybody is welcome.
And for that, you enter through the back door of the Opera House, not through the
front
front door. So that's something to keep in mind. If people show up for the first time, what can they expect at a Hudson Forward meeting?
Well, it was interesting. We, in the spirit of getting to work, and I think everyone that showed up, one thing we all had in common is we were tired of talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to talk about a problem and to talk about vision, but it doesn't often go anywhere. So we went all the way to the other end of the continuum and got right to work, and our monthly meetings became very update-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get right to business. That was great if you had been there for that very inspirational beginning because you knew why. But if you just showed up, I think it was very disorienting because you had no idea what people were talking about. I don't know if you've both noticed, but we're kind of big on acronyms in the city and county. So we've changed that where the first half an hour now is dedicated towards community building. So we take a very easy kind of icebreaker question. In the last meeting, it was, what's your first memory of Hudson?
Mm-hmm.
I will, without naming names, I will tell you some of the first memories of Hudson were not very clear at all, and I won't say why. Mm-hmm. I just might say that they have something to do with the number of bars in this town. and then this coming meeting, we'll do the same thing, just to help people get to know each other and put a face to the name before we just dive in and become very business-oriented. The latter portion of the meeting, which is 45 minutes, is going to be focused on really critical updates. Anything that's detail-oriented will be passed out in a handout, so we're not wasting time just kind of talking through things that could just be read. And then every month we'll have a speaker either from an existing community organization or a representative of government to explain how that aspect of government works. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we might ask the Common Council president to attend. We might ask someone from the county supervisor to attend to continue. That's part of our good government initiative, to keep demystifying how this works and, I think, humanize it a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have someone for tomorrow?
We do.
Well,
we do.
Have.
We have Tina Bonetsky. Mm-hmm. And forgive me, I don't have the name of her organization on me. I know that she's involved with foster care.
Okay.
And I know it's, I'll get it before I go, but she is someone who's done phenomenal work in the county and beyond on foster care arrangements.
Okay.
So yeah, she'll be with
interesting,
us.
Interesting, yeah. I don't know her name.
Another area to think about is the alphabet soup that people, the agency, various agencies that exist, the Hudson Development Corporation, the Hudson Community Development and Planning Agency, HDC, HCDPA, the IDA, the CEDC.
I found if you don't know, you just make up the acronym and people will actually nod.
Well, people often transpose the HDC and HCDPA as if they were one thing. Of course, they're two different things, but they have one executive director.
Yeah, and
so
if you don't understand,
more
you can't participate.
Right.
Right. So we talked a little bit about some of Hudson Forward's successes. I mean, maybe we could talk a little bit about a couple of the other things, like the volunteer days and that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah. So, and again, we do have a team that's focused on community building and volunteerism. So we're planning week-long volunteer festivals, if you will, in the coming year, where we can, through better PR, draw attention to these worthy organizations and pull people out en masse, rather than what we've been doing to date, which is more one-off events, which are harder to promote and get real numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We're also creating a database of people interested in volunteering, and similar to the Learning Forward concept, matching them with organizations that have need. So we'll continue to do that because we don't want to reinvent the wheel. There's a lot of really wonderful volunteerism already happening in Hudson and agencies that you can do that with. So sometimes it's just a matter of supporting them versus trying to, redo what they're already doing.
Mm-hmm. So the one-offs have been like helping a particular agency or organization.
Right.
With a small project that they've had. So the week-long things, are how would that change? What would be different?
So we would just try to pool together. So instead of doing it on a one-off basis, try to coordinate these events so they happen in the same week.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the main benefit is just to promote and get attention for it and get more numbers out, which is harder to do when it's one-off because then people get another announcement and 2 weeks later another, and it kind of gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, last year we supported Greater Hudson Promise Neighborhoods by refurbishing and painting their office.
Oh, okay.
We spruced up three of the city's learning gardens at the middle and high school, and then also on Front Street by supplying volunteers and tools. So gave them a nice sprucing up, and we'd love to do that again this year. We helped stock the shelves at the Hudson Children's Book Festival.
Uh-huh.
And again, these are all existing efforts. We just like to help out and use our numbers. We're approaching now 600 members.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And some are passive. Some are just Facebook, but they're getting the information and they do come. They might not go to every meeting, but if you say, hey, these folks need some help, they will come.
Uh-huh.
So there's some power in that. And we like
definitely
to use that to support these worthy organizations.
Yeah, I think I worked at the book festival, and I think they said that it was the fastest they had ever been set up. And it was everybody was at a certain point. Everybody was like, "Okay, what do we do?" And it was like, "No, everything's done." So
well,
it was pretty great to see.
want when people think of Hudson Forward. I think one of the difficulties we had is that, given that our founder now has run for office, mm-hmm. I think it confused people that this was somehow a political action group. And it couldn't be further from the truth. She just happens, and I'm talking about Tiffany Martin Hamilton, she's mm-hmm. just a highly engaged leader mm-hmm. who wanted to, since people had energy, she wanted to facilitate. We really try to stress that we are inclusive, nonpartisan. This is all about positive change. Mm-hmm. And so it's any organization or people that get that impression that we are ready to spring to work, mm-hmm. that's what we want them to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have an age variety among your membership that shows up and helps you do things?
If I exclude people's children, who are sometimes yeah. in tow, that would be cheating. I think our youngest active member is 22.
Yeah.
And I would say one of our oldest members, I don't know, they've not disclosed, but I would say right. somewhere in their 80s.
Uh-huh.
So we see the one thing, again, they all have in common is they're ready. They want to work. They want to do yeah. something for the good of the community.
Good. It's just, you know, I can see the newer folks in town getting behind this and showing up. I just wondered if the older Hudson was also behind it.
I think related to all groups, we have more work to do in terms of outreach. Uh-huh. Again, we're only, 16 months old?
Yeah, I know.
So I don't even think we qualify as toddler yet. So, yeah, there's always more to do, more
yeah.
outreach. I do want to mention, because I know time is winding down, mm-hmm. for people that are interested in joining, of course, we always welcome anyone to join, and you can find us on at hudsonforward.org or on Facebook, or come to the meeting on Thursday mm-hmm. at 7 at the Opera mm-hmm. House. All of those are great ways to get involved. For people who are interested in more, we do have elected leadership roles, mm-hmm. and we, starting tomorrow, we'll call for nominations. We will take all nominations from within Hudson. And those are for administrator, which is sort of the overall coordinator, public relations, which is also across the group. And then for each of those five action teams that I mentioned, people who are passionate about those causes, good government, access to learning, parks and shared spaces, community building and volunteering, and access to jobs and training, mm-hmm. those will all be up for election. So for people who really want to get involved or have experience, we want to get that word out that we are always interested in new leadership. Mm-hmm. We have some people interested, but it's always good when you have multiple people that are going for those slots.
Definitely. Hotly contested election.
If you're just joining us, we're with Kevin Hannon, who is with Hudson Forward. And we're talking a little bit about what the group does and plans to do. And we just have a couple of minutes left. Any last thoughts about where you've been?
How's the old dog park doing?
We raised $6,500
uh-huh.
and gave the city a pretty comprehensive proposal based on research mm-hmm. on what other like communities do.
Uh-huh.
And without getting too in the weeds, it kind of got stuck. And I think a lot of that was just politics.
Mm-hmm.
Did
you have a proposed location, or were you
we had
hoping
a few,
the city
a few
would come
options.
Up with
mm-hmm. We had a okay. few options, and we were kind of neutral. They were all, for us, they were good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some hope now that we have possibly a
yes,
new mayor that
a
might be
mayor.
In office uh-huh. who from the get-go was backing that effort. It's really a matter of just finding a suitable location.
Right.
It will self-fund. We have the money for the build. It's not too hard to maintain. There are so many dog owners and supporters who mm-hmm. would be more than happy to keep this afloat. From mm-hmm. an insurance perspective, we researched that. It's mm-hmm. not going to be
it's
an added
it's
cost.
Of no consequence
no,
to
of
insurance.
No consequence. Mm-hmm. Right.
Good.
Yep. Stay tuned.
That
okay.
would be pretty great.
Cool. What else?
Well, you know, I always like to think someday we might have a cat park too, but I might save that for another show.
<That'd>
you know,
be great.
They say Hudson should innovate, right? So
yes,
maybe that'll be.
And it is innovative.
Cat park.
Don't want to leave them out, right? This is supposed to be inclusive.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we will take another quick break. This is At Issue on WGXE 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Debbie Mayer.
And we have been with Kevin Hannon from Hudson Forward. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back to close the show. This is At Issue, WGXE. And we're back. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Debbie Mayer.
So we're going to just close out the show by talking a little bit about the weighted vote.
Right,
and
a little bit of news here. Carol Osterick, the creator and writer of Gossips of Rivertown, is actually counting absentee ballots this week. So her posts on Gossips come either early or late. And it's 6:12 a.m. this morning. She posted no equity for Hudson regarding the, let's see, on October 20th, a resolution to begin the process of correcting Hudson's very likely unconstitutional system of weighted votes began with 1,100 affirmative votes to do that. On October 23rd, Mayor William Hollenbeck vetoed it. And last night, which would have been November 17th, a resolution to override the mayor's veto came before the Common Council. Overriding a mayoral veto requires a two-thirds majority, 1,350 affirmative votes. The resolution received only 1,089 affirmative votes. Voting to override were Don Moore, the Common Council president, who has 199 votes, Bart Delaney, 5th Ward, 352 votes, John Friedman, 3rd Ward, 161 votes, Henry Haddad, 3rd Ward, 161 votes, Nick Haddad, 1st Ward, 108 votes, and Rick Rector, 1st Ward, 108 votes. So you can see, Victor, there are a couple of wards missing there altogether. Voting against the override were Robert Doc Donahue in the 5th Ward, Tiffany Garriga in the 2nd Ward with 187 votes, Alexis Keith of the 4th Ward with 105 votes, and Abdus Mia of the 2nd Ward with 187 votes. Aureen Stewart, 4th Ward, was absent. So the override effort went down. Commenting on the outcome, Don Moore observed, "It will serve us well in the court."
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly this is either going to wind up in the courts, mm-hmm. or the other option is that there can be a citizens' initiative,
right.
to put it directly on the ballot.
Yeah.
And I know that people are talking about that as well. Mm-hmm. It's clear that this. I believe that if it goes to court, that the city will lose,
right.
and it will be a tremendous expense for the
yes.
city. Why these people are opposing the override is unclear.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, the 4th Ward aldermen
yes.
have the most to gain by it because they currently have the lowest weighted vote.
Right.
It's really bizarre and mm-hmm. unclear what's going on. This, mm-hmm. you know, I can't. I have no idea. It's bizarre.
I have an idea, but I can't say it on the radio.
So I guess we're going to wrap.